Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Here we are in the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, after the Gus Bradley radio show on Thursday evening. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get to calls a little bit later. And
we might have a few calls hanging on from the Gus Bradley show.
It's all right. We might get to some of those coming up. We'll get to Pittsburgh week's always fun, right? I mean, this is the old AFC Central rival coming in. Right?
When they ended up redoing all, the realignment, that was the greatest disappointment, I think, with Jaguar fans, is that you weren't going to have the Pittsburgh Steelers matchup.
Sure. Players, too.
Absolutely. I mean, because I think, when Gus always talks about, when you're playing an opponent and, there might be a guy on their football team who's a good football player who might be hurt. And he said, we don't think that way. He always says that, look, you want to be able to face them at their best. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers for, ever since the Jaguars' existence have been one of the best teams in football. Mm-hmm. How many Super Bowls they go to? I know Bill Cowher, he won one, and then Mike Tomlin's got a Super Bowl ring, and yeah. Mike Tomlin had another appearance.
And Cowher had another appearance, too.
Yeah,
right?
The Cowboys. So, I mean, playing the Pittsburgh Steelers every year, twice a year, was always something that you accepted the challenge and you wanted that challenge, because if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. And they were the best in the division at that time.
No doubt about that. Hey, what's your favorite Pittsburgh memory, Tony, before we get into this year's team?
What you got? I mean, I got several. I mean, the first time we beat them here in 95 was a great experience. I mean, we had no business beating them. They were going to the Super Bowl that year, and we ended up beating them here early. That was fun. Fred's big night of 234 on the Sunday night was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but the best one was the first game opening day of 96.
That was into.
What was it, like 120 degrees?
Because the best part about it was literally in the fourth quarter, defense played great and we controlled the clock where they didn't want to be on the field with us anymore.
No.
I mean, we pounded them.
That was what you would call a donkey kicking.
When they were tapping out. I mean, they wanted nothing to do with the entire situation.
No, it was the best. Because, when they stepped out on the field, I mean, at that point they just thought that they were just going to show up because they just came off of a Super Bowl. They thought they were just going to show up and that last year's loss against us was just aberration. And so they, Super Bowl champs strutting around the field, Jacksonville. And
no, they weren't Super Bowl champs. They lost the Super Bowl that year.
Or lost the Super Bowl, but they thought they were just going to waltz out on the field and just, wipe the floor with us.
And we just, we took it to them.
And I don't know how many IV bags were left in the locker room, but I remember talking to some of the guys that were cleaning up the visitors' locker room, and they said they've never seen that many IV bags in the visitors' team training room ever.
I literally knew in the fourth quarter that they had no chance of beating us. None. Because we were just – defense played great. We were running the ball, and we just – it was a lot of fun.
You could have ran an offensive – game plan at that point in the second half to where before you got to the line you could have said 36 lead, here it comes.
We're going to run right here and you can't stop us.
It doesn't happen often.
And we ended up being a good team. We weren't that good that year. I mean, early that year, but we ended up being a good team. So that was a lot of fun. But I used to love – I really enjoyed playing in Three Rivers. Now, we had some tough moments there as well, and we got beat up pretty good a couple times there. But I enjoyed going to that atmosphere, I think, because of the history of the place. It was the Steelers, and it was a great crowd. It was just a fun place to play.
Well, and for me, I mean, having grown up, basically in the 70s, I mean, the Steelers teams of the 70s were unbelievable. Bradshaw and Mean Joe Green and Rocky Blyer and Franco Harris, Jack Hamm. I mean, I don't know how many Hall of Famers. Mike Webster, how many Hall of Famers did they have on that football team? And so they were so successful in the 70s for a guy like me to be able to play against a team like that to where you grew up as a kid watching one of your idols like Jack Lambert, and you were playing against that uniform. It was special.
It kind of sounds like Bob Babich's press conference today. He grew up in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania,
yeah,
in that same time frame.
It was much like playing the Washington Redskins for me. You know, I mean, I grew up in Northern Virginia. You know, everybody was a Redskins fan. And Tony, I mean, playing the Broncos probably had some similar kind of draw for you.
Playing the Broncos was huge for me. I mean, you go home. I mean, it's family. Because as a kid, I think what everyone – not everyone, but people forget. I mean, growing up, we were football fans. And so I remember growing up watching the Broncos and the chance to go play in Mile High Stadium. I watched the Steelers growing up. I mean, and so all of a sudden you get to do that against, and so Pittsburgh was always a big game for me. I enjoyed playing them.
Let's get to this team. A lot of wide receiver news this week. We'll start with that at least. Ace Sanders is back. That's good news. Was out the first 4 weeks. And
timing on that was good, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, the timing's never good for an injury or it's never good to have a guy get suspended by the league. But if there was ever good timing in this with Cecil Shorts injuring a hamstring and having Ace Sanders with the ability to come back, you know, I don't expect Ace Sanders to be a starter this week. I still think it's going to be Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. Marquise Lee will be out. Mm-hmm. But Ace Sanders can play a role. You know, and
he's going to have to.
You need guys to play roles.
He's going to be ready
from that
to,
position.
I think he'll be ready to put return punts, too.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that they would rather limit his snaps on offense than take him away from being a punt returner. You know, because Mike Brown's had more snaps in the offense.
Yeah.
Punt returner is just – that's natural.
Catch six plays a game.
You know, here's where we're designed. The design of the play to go, or the design of the play is to take you. After that, it's instinct.
Yeah, make the first guy miss and let's go.
Right. Other wide receiver news today, we have to get to this. Mark Long had the story yesterday that Justin Blackmon is in a voluntary program, rehab program, which is
great news.
Good news to see. So we hadn't heard about that in a while, and a positive step forward, it seems.
Me and Tony have both said this ever since Justin came here. We like Justin. He's a really good guy, in his heart. Unfortunately, you've got to kind of wade and pick your way through the woods, so to speak, to find that. But he's a good guy that has a problem.
That's right.
And I'm glad that he has gotten voluntarily some attention and some type of help for whatever issue that he may have. Because I'm not talking about getting him back out on the football field. I was happy to hear that just for Justin Blackmon going forward for the rest of his life because he's a young man.
Right. You just don't want to see him in the headlines anymore. I mean, that's headline one day.
Forget the headlines, forget anything. You want to see him be productive in whatever he's going to do, and you can't be productive with the choices that he obviously was making. And it affected his professional career right now, and hopefully he'll get another chance, and I believe he will if he can make right decisions. But it's always a big step for a person in his situation to come to the realization, I can't beat this on my own. I need to go get some help, and that's good.
Let's move on to this game coming up this week. You set a stat in the Gus Bradley Show that rookie quarterbacks against Dick LeBeau defenses
two
are
and 17.
2-17 all time.
Yeah, and it's
good luck, Blake.
I mean, 19 games, and you would probably never guess the two guys that have won against Dick LeBeau if you probably didn't already hear it.
Well, I heard it, but go ahead.
But I mean, Brandon Weeden and Troy Smith are the only quarterbacks.
I didn't know who it was. You know who I was going to say? I guarantee it was a Baltimore Raven quarterback because they played such great defense.
That's right.
They didn't have to do that much.
That's true.
But, I mean, that's crazy.
I
wrote the numbers down here, and let me give them to you. The rookie quarterbacks against a Dick LeBeau defensive coordinator, 53.6% completion percentage and a rating of 59.7. Hmm.
I'd be curious to see how those games break down, though. Like, how good was the rest of the team around the rookie quarterback?
Well, you got to remember.
You know what I mean? If you have a rookie quarterback, things aren't going well overall.
Well, I mean, here's another stat to back it up. I mean, since Mike Tomlin's been the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dick LeBeau obviously has been the defensive coordinator the whole time. The Steelers have had the number one ranked defense 4 out of those 7 years.
No, listen, they're a good unit. Now, they're not the same unit this year by any means. They have a bunch of injuries. They don't rush the passer like they once did. They're not as fast in the back end because Troy Polamalu can't run like he once did. I don't think they're very good at the corners. But the one thing they still do, I was just watching the Tampa tape, they run a bunch of different looks at you, and they're moving guys all the time. They're going to X-stunt and move the backers and run games up front. They're going to bring Polamalu down at the line of scrimmage. They're going to do everything you can think of, and they're going to disguise it at the, before the snap. They're going to try to give you one look. They're going to try to give you two high safeties, and at the last minute, Troy is going to come down into the middle of the field, down to the middle of the field. They're going to give you – if they can confuse Blake Bortles – they're gonna give it. They're gonna try to.
Is the disguise always right before the snap, or no. And then after the snap, it's normal?
No. Okay. They're very good at it.
You know, they're all over the place.
What's always been impressive to me through the years with Dick LeBeau is that they do such a great job of disguising, but rarely do you ever see them get beat. You know, rarely do you see a guy like we've seen with the Jaguars defense over the last couple of weeks, a guy running wide open. You just don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, and for a defense like even Rex Ryan's defense, Rex Ryan plays a defense that's very complicated and sometimes vacates entire zones just to be able to defend an offense. But rarely do you see them ever get, you know, guys running wide open. So I think that's a tribute to Dick LeBeau as a coach who's been around a very long time for the great job that he does teaching to make sure that you don't have any free runners.
But here's the difference of this Pittsburgh defense that I've seen. One is they don't have anyone up front who can win one-on-one. There's not one guy on this defense outside of Lawrence Timmons who, when he blitzes, I mean, he is fast.
Mm-hmm.
He is elusive. He's powerful. I mean, he is an all-around very good player. Outside of that, the next best defensive front on the front seven is Cameron Hayward, and he's a good player. He'll move around. He's good lateral movement. You better account for him. But he's not a great pass rusher. They don't have a great pass rusher. And so if you can pick up and wade through the confusion of pre-snap looks and what they're going to do and protect the quarterback, there is a lot of winnable situations in this Steelers secondary because they're not very good at corner. They're just very average at corner.
No, but the one thing that they've always done a really good job with through the years is when they send a defensive back on a blitz.
They get there. That's the problem. You have to wade through it, and you got to be right because if you're not right, your quarterback's going to get hit.
And this is a good question for you, Tony.
Yeah.
How important is it for the offensive line to communicate? Fortunately, you got them at home, so you can have some communication on the line of scrimmage, but how important is that? Because you faced them.
Oh, it's critical. You have to have the obviously the center and quarterback are dictating a lot of what is going on based on where Mike is and everything else. The middle linebacker, that's the Mike linebacker. And what they want to do is they want to try to – it's the old famous zone blitz. They're going to try to get four to one side and then drop into zone on the backside. Now, this at least against Tampa, I noticed they played a lot more single high safety and a lot more man. But the traditional look is they want to overload one side and get you deficient there, which they were able to do against Tampa a few times, where you're sliding one way because they give you one look and you think the blitz is coming over here and then they bring four weak and you just don't have enough guys to pick them up. Mm-hmm. And they do an outstanding job. I mean, every time you line up and if you have a slot receiver, you better be paying attention to the guy, the sub, the nickelback, because there's a chance he's coming. And they do an outstanding job. And so the communication pre-snap with everyone being on the same page is critical. You know, a lot of times where we at times had some of our best success with them is when you can run the ball and you establish the run. The second thing is at times the best way to deal with the Dick LeBeau defense is to spread them out. Because if you spread them out, it makes them declare earlier of exactly what they're going to do because it's higher. It's much more difficult to disguise things at the line of scrimmage. Now, the question is the confidence level with Blake, second start, mm-hmm. young receivers, young offensive line. I mean, do you really want to start spreading people out and put yourself in that situation? So it'll be very interesting to see how Jed attacks this because you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to be on the same page. And let's not forget, not just is the rookie quarterback, you have a rookie center.
Yeah.
So who's going
rookie
to be
right guard?
Who's going to be IDing the Mike linebacker? And when it changes because they bring a secondary guy out of the sky, now there's a new Mike, and who's going to re-ID him?
Were they better at that last week, offensive line?
Were they better at IDing?
IDing, communication overall?
I'm not sure IDing was the issue before. I think they're more athletic with Boinko at center. They're not as powerful, so there's times he got bounced around when they run games, and Pittsburgh's going to run a lot of games, a lot of twists, TEs, ETs, TTs, backers coming and scraping, because I think they do a lot of that because they know they can't win one-on-one. And so Luke's going to need to be a little more stable and physical. But as far as the run game and athletic ability, he did a good job. I thought Linder was a stud. You didn't see a lot of guys running free at, against. And when they were, Blake did a great job. I was talking to some of the defensive coordinators of the Chargers after the game. They said, listen, we blitzed them. And a lot of times we were coming, but he did a good job of getting the ball out of his hand before we could get there. And so I thought overall, if you look at the game in its entirety against the Chargers, I know it was a bad defeat and it ended up being a larger margin, but there were, at least offensively, there was more good than bad. And there was a lot of very good things that they can build on coming to this week. It's a whole new challenge. Now, I thought last week prepared because San Diego liked to blitz, but this is even more complex than what they saw last week.
We'll take our first time out on Jaguars Thursday. When we come back, the Jaguars defense giving up some big plays this year, 6 20-yard or more plays last week. This Pittsburgh offense is capable of the big play, too. Hey, Jags fans, you want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video boards? Use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive and be a part of the game experience. The Social Drive, brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Back with more Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The Jaguars Women's Association presents Football 101 for Women coming up Thursday, October 16th, 6:30 to 9. West Touchdown Club here at Everbank Field, an interactive workshop designed to teach the technical side of football. Q&A with players, scouts, and coaches, cocktails, appetizers, and a silent auction. Tickets are $100, jaguars.com/2014NFL101. And proceeds will benefit the Baptist Health Hill Breast Center. That's coming up.
Nice.
Outstanding.
It is a good event. Isn't it Breast Cancer Awareness Month in the league, too?
It is in October.
October, yeah.
That's right.
And it is in October. Yeah. Lots of pink will be on the field, I'm sure, starting.
Isn't it one game you pick?
Starting tonight.
Isn't the team like pick no, one main team? Wasn't it for a while you picked one game?
I think it was one game to where they could really
go all out. Yeah.
But then I think that you're like all the different accessories, the gloves, the towels.
But I know one game you go.
Throughout the month, though, I think you can wear all the accessories that are pink.
Well, that thing's gone all the way down to high school. I mean, my kids have, you know, pink towels and socks. And I mean, that's a big deal at the high school level
that's
as well.
Good.
Yeah. It brings a lot of good awareness.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Carolyn on the north side wants to talk quarterback tonight. Carolyn, good evening.
Yes, how y'all doing tonight?
Great. What's up?
Yes, I'm calling. I'm very, very concerned about you all sportcasts. I'm not saying you two that's on tonight. But these early, like Frank Frangie and some of these, all that negative talk about we ain't going to win and how bad the team. We need to stop bad-mouthing the team. Listen, the day is past and gone. And let bygones be bygones. This is a whole
Amen.
New season. It starts Sunday with Blake Bortles at quarterback. And he is going to make a difference in this team. So let's just stop all this negative talk about, oh, how bad we've been and we can't do this and we ain't going to do that. Let's give Blake a chance and all this stuff. How he throw the interceptions and he don't make rookie mistakes. That's he's only human. Veterans throw interceptions and all that negative talk about, oh, we don't stand no chance, don't win and stuff. If we could just be more positive minded,
I agree.
We probably will win games.
You're exactly right.
Blake Bortles, he's an outstanding quarterback.
Carolyn, great call.
Hey, Carolyn, is there anything – you know, Jeff and I work with Frank Frangie, and I'd have no problem taking a shot at him if you like. Anything you'd like me to share with him?
Yeah, would you please tell him to stop all this negative talk? All he talk about, oh, we can't win, and oh, how horrible we are. Well, wait, give us a chance.
Yeah, he's a
this
bad person.
He's
a bad person, there. Carolyn. He's a bad person. I don't know what to tell you. I'll take care of it.
Carolyn, thank you for the call.
I personally can't speak to know that exactly what Frank has been saying, but I know Frank is excited about Blake Bortles, just like I think we all are.
Yeah. You know, well, don't bail out Frank. Let's
no,
go
I'm,
Carolyn.
I'm not trying to bail him out.
Come on. It's a lot more fun burying Frank. I don't care if you didn't say anything bad. It's just
No. I'm gonna be truthful because I mean, me and Frank have had this conversation about Blake, and he's excited about it. And there's reason to be excited about it. And I'm going to use this as an opportunity to do a little promotion of Jaguars.com because
hey,
tomorrow
like yes.
on Film Room Friday,
okay.
because
one of the best segments of the week.
Carolyn talks about how her outlook is positive, and many may view that as being the glass half full.
I like that. Yes.
Okay, and many view it as the glass is half empty. Now, Vic Ketchman was a glass half empty kind of a guy. I mean, we all understood that.
We love him.
Now the Packers.
Tomorrow on Film Room Friday, there will be a segment, and it's about what is your glass? Is it half full or is it half empty? Mm-hmm. So check it out on Jaguar. Well,
you know, I did an interview. I was on the morning show with our good friends Dan and Jeff, and I got called Mr. Sunshine because I was trying to be overly positive.
So your glass is half full.
I'm a half full guy. I mean, Jeff and I
think you're a half full guy, Jeff.
We're half full.
With Blake Bortles, I'm excited.
Overall, overall direction.
I'm a half full guy. Yeah.
Well, Frank's not.
If you look at the off, here's the thing. You look at the offense, you know, and defense, and I understand people's point of view on the defense, and that, you know, it's a veteran side of the ball.
Yeah.
You expected them to make progress. You don't want to see free runners running in the secondary. But offensively, with a young quarterback who went out and went toe-to-toe with Phillip Rivers, his completion percentage, you know, in that game was astronomical for a rookie's first game. And the things that he was able to do with just his athleticism, his awareness, and his pocket presence gives you reason to be excited. And if you look at it big picture, oh, it's all around Blake Bortles with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, and we haven't seen much of Marquise Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But a young offensive line, and what I was talking about with Gus, and that you, when you actually go and you actually look at individuals within the play to get a positive vibe and a positive evaluation of a guy, it changes your perspective. And from watching film offensively, I'm encouraged as I've ever been.
I agree.
And that the arrow is pointing up for the offense. Now, look, I'm not saying that it's going to happen this week. You know, I'm not saying that it's going to happen the week after that, but I feel good about where they're heading.
To Carolyn's credit, she's been calling for Bortles since
great.
Week one. So
yeah.
she's been
Listen,
calling
there's
a lot
of I positive. Like I mean, and it's hard to say this when you're 0-4 and you got double digits loss piling up. But, Jeff, I thought the defensive line played well last week.
Played hard against – I mean, they were very good against the run. They've got
and they
to
hit,
clean up the back end.
No, but even – I'm talking just the front four. They hit Phillip. They yep. they harassed them. I mean,
four-man rush was pretty good.
They did a good job, I thought.
The blitzes weren't very good.
No.
You know, the coverages weren't good. The pressure getting home
didn't
was
get,
not
didn't
good.
Didn't get there. If you're going to blitz like they
you
did, gotta they got to get home.
Especially with the back end playing like it is. One more phone call. Shane in St. Nicholas talking about offensive line coaching. Shane, what's up tonight?
Oh, not much. Great show, guys. But I was wondering, how much would it affect, like, with losing our offensive line coach at the beginning of the year? Does that affect the development of our young offensive line?
You know, Georgiano is an outstanding coach, and so anytime you lose an outstanding coach, it's you know it doesn't make you better. I mean, he does an outstanding job, and he did a great job, and so he is missed. With that said, I think from watching in training camp, being around and talking, you know, in the building, I think Luke Buckus has done a good job. That's who he's the interim offensive line coach right now. Mm-hmm. He has a very young group. It's not an easy job. He has two rookies starting. You know, we've gone through Luke Jokel, you know, really like a rookie because of his reps. Sam Young getting his first starts really of his career. And so, him and Jerry Sullivan, they have the two toughest jobs probably with the amount of youth they're dealing with. And I think Luke has done a good job of getting –
I think he's done a great job.
Getting this unit better each week. And that's what you have to look at, where they started and where they're going. And I thought if you turn on the tape last week and compare it to a week ago and 2 weeks ago, this is a unit that's on the rise. And so you got to give Luke credit for teaching, you know, technique work and what they're trying to do. So – while I think Georgiano is missed, it has nothing to do. I think Luke Buckus has done a very good job with this unit.
If you look at the progress that they've made since they made the change, mm-hmm. but Luke Bowenko at center and Sam Young at right tackle, they've gotten better the first week all the way until now since they've made that change.
That's right.
And so to me, I see that as a positive. I see that as another area that you feel good about because they're getting better. And then with Luke Jokel, I mean, he, even though we want to say, well, he's a second-year guy, he's not. You know, this is going to be his sixth start at left tackle in his NFL career. That's still being a rookie. And not to mention, last week, he was going against one of the all-time great players in Dwight Freeney. Probably the fastest first step that I've ever seen in the National Football League next to Howie Long. Honestly.
Wow.
Honestly, the two fastest guys off the snap that I've ever seen were Howie Long and Dwight Freeney. Now, I'm not saying that Dwight Freeney last week is still that type of player, but he's still a good football player. You know, so, hey, to me, it's all good. They're getting better.
Jeff Lagerman wasn't on that list you just said, though.
He was close second.
I mean, third, apparently.
I was going to put him on
first
that.
Step.
Who?
You.
No.
you weren't on that list?
Not even in the same universe. As a Dwight Freeney, I can tell you that.
One more phone call before we go to break, guys. John on the south side wants to talk about this young team. John, what's up? John,
hello,
are you
guys,
there?
Guys, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, the thing I'm, you know, because I don't really know, but I know you guys look at the tapes and stuff. Where I'm seeing the stuff is on when they do the zone defense is when the guy breaks off to let the other guy take it. Seems like that's when they're taking advantage and making the reception.
No doubt. And John, that's what they call – it's just route awareness to where when you do pass a guy off, you should kind of anticipate once that guy is leaving your zone. And what John's talking about is zone defensive coverage.
Yes.
Okay, when you have a guy that's traveling through your zone or nobody's that's in your zone right away, you can look at what you can see to determine what is coming your way. That's anticipation. That's experience. And right now they're not playing with great anticipation because the coverage should be much tighter in those instances. I mean, Winston Guy, for example, who got cut, the one play that Eddie Rolle, the out and up. When Eddie Rolle is running the out, Winston Guy's eyes. Okay, try saying that five times real fast.
Good job.
When his eyes turned back to Phillip Rivers, he was beat. And it didn't matter what Eddie Rolle did after that. Eddie Rolle could have did anything after that, and Winston Guy would have gotten lost. And that's the awareness that you can't do that. You know that he's running this route, but then your eyes, because you are in man, your eye discipline has to be on the receiver, and then you read his body language to determine when you can turn your eyes back to the quarterback. That's just lack of awareness. And, you know, that's an extreme example of awareness. There's other examples as well amongst the other guys in that back seven. When I say back seven, that's safeties, linebackers, and cornerbacks, and nickelback if they're in nickel package.
We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Thursday. We will come back and talk about these Pittsburgh Steelers offensive weapons. If you want to know what's going on within the Jacksonville Transportation Authority, watch the award-winning Making Moves television program now in its sixth season of being North Florida's premier source for transportation news. For airtimes and more, visit jtafla.com. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Join the biggest, boldest, and best party in Jacksonville Saturday night, 8 p.m. Your Jags and the Roar unveil the 2014 swimsuit calendar. That's for next calendar year, though, live on the all-new Clevelander deck at Everbank Field. Get your party pass for $15. Includes free parking, live music, meet and greets with the Roar, an open bar on the deck until 9 p.m.
You're looking forward to this,
RJ. I'm smiling reading this card. Log on to clevelander.wanttickets.com right now. 21 and over.
You're actually blushing a little bit.
Yeah, how many of those calendars will you be hanging up in your house?
Well, I don't have one yet.
He's got two in his office.
Oh, I know. He has last year's.
Last year. It's still on one certain month. I haven't changed. It's like 3 months old. But whatever. That's
Come on,
another
JP.
Story altogether.
Don't give it away.
JP, is this like? Are you looking forward to the Clevelander more than anything else right now?
I'm excited for Saturday night. It's going to be fun. You going to be there, Tony?
I will not be there.
Why not?
I have a function to go to.
Well, this function is kind of important, well,
I think it's...
You got to support the Roar cheerleaders.
I do support the Roar.
And the Clevelander deck.
I don't even know what the Cleveland...
The whole pool deck
right,
area.
But it's a
hotel.
Isn't that a club or something down south, in South Florida?
Ocean Drive, Miami, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a hotel.
I may or may not have been there some nights.
Is it...
Yeah. It's a hotel.
They have a club with a pool outside, yes.
It's a hotel. Leave it at that.
Okay, it's a hotel.
Have you been there, Jeff?
To where?
The Clevelander.
The hotel?
Yeah.
No. I'm more of a like a Motel 6 kind of guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you though?
Yeah. Or, you know, or an 8. You know, they leave the lights on for me.
Yeah, that's Red Roof Inn, isn't it?
Well,
that
too.
Whatever it is, that's me.
Either way. Let's go downtown. Lenny is on the line, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Lenny, you're saying it's hard to be positive. What's up?
Hey, guys, listen, man, I love your show. I enjoy it. I'm going to get one of those Roar calendars as soon as I can.
Nice.
I'm going to hang it in the office even if the mayor decides to tell me to take it down. But listen, I remember when you guys became the spokes person for the war, for the Jaguars.
No, JP is going to
be very objective.
Okay.
You know, and you're going to be, you know, negative and positive whenever it was appropriate. And it just seems like, you know, we're having a real screwed up season. We're losing. And all you guys talk about is all the good things.
Well, hold on now, Lenny. Let me take you to task just a little bit here. Did you listen Monday night?
Because I listen every night.
Okay, Monday night, Pete and I and JP sit here and break down the game in detail, good, bad, and ugly. We go through the entire thing. Tonight, we are looking forward to the Pittsburgh game of more of what is upcoming and what this team needs to do and the positives that they need to build on from the past week to get a victory.
I mean, you have no choice but to break a game down right after the game,
which we do
when it's a disastrous loss. But to talk about the team as being a victorious team, everything looks good.
Who said that?
The quarterback looks great. Everything, you know, the linebackers are good. When you guys took this on. You said you were going to be completely objective, that you were not going to be Jacksonville Jaguar fans, that you were going to be ESPN NFL correspondents.
Well, let me say this.
That's not what's happened.
Okay, Lenny, can you let me speak for just a minute?
Breathe, Lenny, breathe.
Jeff Loggeman has the floor.
First and foremost, it's you don't have to explain what the bad is. You can see it. We've talked about it. Guys running free on the defense. Offensively, the inability to run the football. Toby Gerhardt is not having a great year. We've talked about that. I mean, that's all easy stuff to talk about. The harder stuff to talk about and the harder part is to actually see some positive in the direction that they're heading and the progress that they've made over the last two to three weeks, especially as a football team. But you know, you've got to stop looking at this Jaguars football team as, okay, they stink and it's all bad if they lose by a score, and then start looking at, are they making progress individually? And most importantly, what this team has been missing for so many years since the Mark Brunell era has been a quarterback, the most important position for this franchise to have going forward. And to me, if you can't see positive in Blake Bortles, I can't help you. I can't help you one bit because your glass is always going to be half empty.
I can see positive,
half empty.
But if he's losing,
so see that's the problem, Lenny.
Games,
Lenny,
positive,
Lenny, they've got
man.
Five rookies starting on offense. What do you expect? Do you expect visions of grandeur to where they go to San Diego and whoop Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, and Keenan Allen? And Malcolm Floyd, who've been playing this game for so long, that doesn't happen overnight. You've got five rookies on offense. And I'm not trying to be mean or demeaning, but that's the fact.
And there's a stat to kind of back that up. I think there's 24 teams in the league that have one rookie or starting on offense. Four others have none.
This team has five. This team last year was completely, completely dismantled. And then the rebuilding process started in May. In the draft last year. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. Now, look, if you want to talk about defense and your disappointment in defense, by all means, I'm with you. I'm disappointed in the defense, too. I thought that they would be able to carry this football team while the offense was developing.
That was
they
the whole
haven't
goal.
Been right. able to do that. Now, have they gotten better last week? Yes, a little bit. Have they gotten dramatically better enough to where they can be competitive? No, they haven't. And we've said nothing, anything but that.
Yeah.
Well, now, if you're, you know, listening to somebody else saying it's all rosy and things are great, no. But my glass is half full. I feel good about where this team is at, and I feel good about where they're going.
My dauber's up.
I'll tell you this. I've been accused of a lot worse things than being too positive. I'll tell you that.
I can tell you this, Lenny. I've always called it like I saw it, and I always will, okay? But you also have to be able to look at what you see on the cover and look inside at times.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call. Lenny, downtown.
Thank you, Lenny.
Got Jeff going.
Got me fired up a little bit.
We don't get Jeff fired up too often.
I just sat here and listened. That's usually my role. Yeah. Yelling at callers, telling
no,
them.
No, you're
being too positive, Jeff.
I wasn't trying to yell.
The only thing I meant.
I apologize, Lenny, for
yelling. Don't apologize.
No way.
The only thing I was missing is you calling him like an idiot or something.
I wasn't going to pull a Vic Ketchman.
I mean, Lenny, I like
I wasn't going to tell Lenny like Vic told our one caller to kiss it. I'm not going to do that. That's disrespectful. I appreciate the call, Lenny. I appreciate your opinion. But I get it. I mean, look, this football team last year, first eight games, horrendous. The worst I've ever seen in the National Football League in eight games. They were able to turn it around. The first four games of the season defensively, horrendous. They got to be better. And it's disappointing because you know they're capable of better than that. You know that the head coach, I mean, his expertise is defense. And he can coach his butt off when it comes to defense. They've got to be better, no doubt.
Let's get to this Pittsburgh offense, guys. We've been Roethlisberger's in 11th year. Brown is, what, second in the league in receiving yardage? Not fourth in receiving yardage. I apologize. The running back,
third
Bell.
Third in receptions and fourth in yards.
And the running back, Bell, is second in the league in rushing behind the Dallas running back.
DeMarcus Murray.
They got weapons, you know, different weapons. A running back, a receiver, they got a tight end. They got all kind of things.
Their tight end's average. He was a very good player for a long time. He's a catch the ball and get tackled guy now. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, and Le'Veon Bell are three studs. And those three guys can beat you. They can dominate games. They can take over games. Their offensive line is as average as the day is long and below average, in my opinion, in some positions.
Where?
I don't think their left tackle is very good. I don't think they're – depending on who's going to be right, the left guard, it was Cody Wallace. I thought he really struggled. Pouncey is a good player. DeCastro.
Pouncey's the center.
DeCastro, the right guard, is –
he's a good player.
I think he's average, above average. He's a former first-round pick. I think had much higher expectations out of him. And Marcus Gilbert, the right tackle, is just a tall, big guy who gets pushed back and doesn't do very much. I think they're just very average. But Ben Roethlisberger buys a lot of time. He moves around, and Le'Veon Bell is a guy who can run the rock. So
yeah, Le'Veon Bell is a true talent. I mean, this is a guy that from the get-go, his rookie season, has been not only an excellent runner, but an excellent receiver out of the backfield. He's great in space. He's got drop your jock kind of moves,
and he's
and great acceleration.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's
too.
A big guy who can make you miss and run you over.
And they got LeGarrette Blount back there too, who went off late in that Carolina game. That was the first time that they had two 100-yard rushers in the same game, the Steelers, since 1986. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So LeGarrette Blount can kind of close out some things towards the
but
end.
He's a real smooth, fluid, big power back. That's got pretty good vision. Now, I hope that they have a little bit of a slip up this week, you know, and that they've had issues now, those two guys.
You want to explain yourself here? What are you talking about?
They had a little run-in with the law.
Oh, yeah.
With some substances that they're not supposed to have.
Right.
Marijuana and those two guys seem to go together.
Okay.
I believe it was in the preseason that they were pulled over in a car or something of that nature. And
I'm sure it wasn't theirs.
And had it.
But were they held out at all?
They played in. I believe they played in the preseason game. Mike Tomlin made them play,
right?
Or had them play. I don't know all the exact details, but not a good reflection on those two guys.
Well, you know, just listen to what Gus Bradley was saying in his radio show. That all that aside, you look at the film, and what comes out on film is
what's on
good
film,
running backs.
What's on film is that Bell can flat out run.
You betcha.
And Antonio Brown can beat you underneath, over the top, anywhere he pleases. He's
he is
really good.
Fast. He's crafty. He's got good hands. He's got great after-the-catch running ability. I mean, he's the total package. The only thing he probably doesn't have is size, you know, as far as being a big, rangy type of wide receiver. But he is by far the best wide receiver that the Jaguars will face.
Great
up to this point.
And great change of direction. I mean, he really can stop and move. I mean, Jeff said it best. He's a complete player.
Let's finish with this in this segment. Ben Roethlisberger is huge, a large human being. Who is the biggest, strongest quarterback you ever had to tackle?
I got
to
guess who it would be.
Who do you think it was, Tony?
I mean, I didn't. Steve McNair, because we never tackled him.
Okay. What about yourself personally, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, Steve McNair and John Elway. John Elway was so strong in the pocket. Now, not only was he strong when you made contact with him, but he had the ability to avoid that contact and make you look stupid by speed. I mean, he had great running ability, especially when he was younger. Now, when he was older, he was just strong and it was hard to bring down. He'd still try to get the ball off while he was being tackled.
Yeah.
But early in his career, just trying to get a hold of him was almost impossible. I mean, he was the most difficult guy that I ever tried to bring down, by far.
More than Steve McNair?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. How about that?
Yeah. Pretty close.
And Ben is equal to that.
He might be stronger. I don't know. But I mean, when you watch
you're still
him
in good
play,
shape. You could probably get him down.
Oh. No.
Ben's bigger than Jeff.
It'd be like throwing a piece of fine china against a concrete wall.
Jaguars Thursday. We'll take our final timeout. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We'll wrap up Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Thursday, final segment. JP Shatterick, Jeff Flagerman, Tony Vaselli. Final segment here. This has been an interesting show tonight. We'll go to the phone line one last time. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Ken is out in Dinsmore, I guess. Ken, you want to respond to Lenny. Ken, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's up, man? I tell you what. I listen every day, all day. Lenny don't have a clue. He must listen to the Big Ape or something. I don't know what the hell he's listening to, but I tell you what, you guys break it down right. You said you were going to do what you do, and you're doing it. You are, the bad is the bad, the good is the good, and the progress is the progress. Lenny, I don't know what to say, man. You guys are doing it right. That's all I can say. I appreciate you guys. I was a season ticket holder for 13 years, unfortunately. I had to let them go due to financial reasons, but you know what? I still support the team, and I like the direction. The quarterback's going to be great, and I think this team is going to be next year. They said it was going to be next year. That's what's going to happen.
Well, Ken, cousin Ken, I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Ken.
He's not my cousin.
His glass is half full.
His glass is half full, and I appreciate that. But you know, I also appreciate everybody's opinion. You know, I mean, that's what
they're being politically correct.
Just being too nice.
That's
my goodness.
I like to take a stand. I'm trying to teach you how to be a little respectful.
No, that's not good.
I mean, just wait till you follow him on Twitter, and Tony will rip people left, right, up, and down.
No, I just call it. Now
he can hide behind his avatar.
I hide behind nothing. Nothing. I like the Jeff that was yelling at Lenny better.
See, that's it right there.
I'm just telling you.
Exactly.
It's more entertaining. It's more, it's more thought-provoking. It's more honest. The little thing now he's trying to cover his tracks ridiculous.
Just being honest now that I've had a chance to catch my breath.
So you were lying before?
Get my blood pressure down.
So you were lying before? Now you're being honest?
No. I'm being honest both ways.
You lost your edge, Jeff.
He's lost his edge. Yeah. That was not the Jeff Logman I knew when he was a player.
Yeah, when you were a player, you would have ripped this guy's head off.
Oh, no.
Now he's meditating.
Commercial break, and I'm back, I'm
yoga,
back to center. And
meditation now.
Back to center.
A different guy. It's 21st century now. Around the National Football League tonight, Vikings at the Packers. No Teddy Bridgewater tonight for Minnesota.
Which means no chance of a Vikings win, period, because Aaron Rodgers is
He got hot last week.
He's a great player. I still think the Minnesota Vikings are a long way. I mean, no Adrian Peterson. I don't think the loss of Teddy Bridgewater impacts them that greatly. I mean, it's not like he is.
Are they rolling out Christian
Aaron
Ponder?
Rodgers.
Yep.
That does affect him greatly then.
And it's in Green Bay. Rain is in the forecast. Eddie Lacy is going to play a huge part of this ballgame.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bears-Panthers on Sunday in Carolina. A couple of 2-2 teams going at it.
Yeah, Carolina started 2-0, and then after that have not looked the same.
But at the same time, what do you make of the Bears?
I have no idea about the Bears either. I mean, Jay Cutler can get it going, and those two receivers he has outside, Matt Forte, in the backfield, you'd think they'd be better. They went toe-to-toe for a while there with the Packers and then just turnovers and mistakes. You know, neither team punted last week in the Bears-Packers game.
Only a few times it's ever happened.
Is it in Carolina or is it in Chicago?
It is in Carolina, in Charlotte.
You know, I'll take the home team just because.
Is there an offensive line that's had more issues than the Atlanta Falcons this year?
The Falcons have help on the way. They signed Cam Bradfield this week.
I was about to say, is that sarcasm? Is that real? Is that sarcasm?
He'll help him.
Okay.
He'll help him.
Yeah, because they're playing a tight end there. I mean, you'd help him right now.
Falcons at the Giants in New York.
Me and Tony both totally swung and missed on last Thursday night's game, the Redskins and the Giants. We said the Redskins were going to win, and all of a sudden the Giants came out and looked like world beaters.
They were 0-2, and now they're 2-2. I like the Giants. I mean, if they keep on playing, they're playing good defense. The offense is finally clicking. The short passing game, get the ball out of Eli's hands in a quick manner. And then the tight end, Donald, and they get Odell is playing very well, and they get Odell Beckham back this week outside. So I like the Giants.
Yeah, but he's practiced so little. I'm taking Smitty.
Okay.
Smitty will win it.
We like Cam,
he's going to will him to victory.
Cam Bradfield's a good dude.
He's going to will them to victory.
That look in his eye.
Silver Fox.
Battle of Texas. The Texans at 3-1. The Cowboys at 3-1. Great offense, at least early in Dallas. A lot of weapons there.
I'm taking the Texans.
On the road.
I like the Cowboys. They have the best offensive line in football. Everyone ripped Jerry Jones for picking offensive lineman 3 years in a row in the first round. The left tackle is playing.
Oh, that's such a slanted opinion.
Well, the left tackle, Tyrone Smith, is playing as well at that position as anybody in the league right now. The center, Fredericks, the second-year player, is doing a good job. The right guard, I can't think of his right name right now, another first-round pick. That's a good unit, and they're running the ball to DeMarco Murray. They're giving Tony Romo and the two, they have weapons outside, Witten. Their defense isn't great, but until you slow down the Cowboys, I like the Cowboys because of the offensive line.
J.J. Watt is going to go Hulk Hogan on the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he single-handedly won the game almost last week.
That was awesome.
And I'm expecting J.J. Watt to rip them first-round pick offensive linemen you're talking about to shreds.
Yeah, I don't see it.
If you were a GM, Tony, you'd probably draft like offensive linemen the first three rounds every year.
No, I just believe in – I think if you look at this league, and everyone talks about quarterback, which is the most important position.
Tony Romo is going to be scared.
He's not going to be scared. You got to protect the quarterback. You look at the teams that are consistently – you have to have a quarterback. But last year, the two best teams in the NFL were the Seahawks and the 49ers. What did both of them do? They controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Ravens in Indianapolis. Ravens 3-1. Colts 2-2. Steve Smith's not playing his old team this week, though.
Well, here's what I think. Andrew Luck has the number one offense in the National Football League. The Baltimore Ravens got beat up by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Beat up on the ground. I don't see how anything can happen but a victory.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Colts. As long as they don't give it to Trent Richardson, I think they win.
Let's finish with this. Bengals, what in the wide world of sports is going on with the Patriots?
They're not very good. They have no wide receivers.
You got to start right where you just left.
And their offensive line, they started two rookies, and they couldn't protect anyone. They couldn't run the ball. You're exactly right. They're not good outside the receiver position. They have no threat when, you know, Julius Edelman, in all due respect, is your number one receiver.
Not really good.
That's an issue. Gronk is not the same guy, and they can't block anybody inside.
Can the Jags get it done this Sunday?
Yes.
I think anything is possible when you've got a quarterback that's got some special ability. Yes, they can win.
Well done. Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli, for everyone involved, for Joe Fortunato, this is J.P. Shadrick. That's it for Jaguars Thursday. We'll see you Sunday here at Everbank Field.